There's been disbelief and widespread grief in the media and wider community today after Bauer Media shut down its New Zealand branch. The closure means the loss of some of the country's longest-running and beloved magazines like The Listener and New Zealand Women's Weekly, as well as Women's Day, North and South, Next, Metro, Home NZ and Your Home and Garden, meaning the loss of 300 jobs. There's been criticism that the magazines were deemed non-essential by the government during the lockdown, but the Bauer teams were still working from home to put out their next publications. Bauer Media Group has confirmed it did not apply for a wage subsidy to keep it going through COVID-19 disruption. The Prime Minister expressed her disappointment at Bauer's decision this afternoon.
No one wanted to see the loss of these magazines. These have all been part of New Zealand's history. They've been part of people's lives. Within a couple of days of the New Zealand government announcing the lockdown, Bauer contacted the minister and told him they weren't interested in subsidies. They didn't enter a conversation about becoming an essential service. They didn't seek to continue to operate in lockdown, and they didn't want to use the government support to keep their doors open. So I just reject any suggestion that COVID-19 and our response to it has caused them to shut their printing press, but I deeply regret that they have. In my view, they should have taken it up and they should have kept going.
Well, it's been rough weeks for the sector. Radio Sport was shut down by NZME, and MediWorks has asked all of its workers to take a pay cut or face job losses. Well, let's go now to Wendell Nissen, who together with her husband, Paul Little, edited five of the magazines which have been shut down. Wendell, kia ora, welcome to the program.
Kia ora, thanks for having me on.
What do you say? You must be gutted.
You know, I've gone through the shock, sadness, now I'm just angry. You know, it's interesting the Prime Minister saying that about Bauer. Here's the thing. It doesn't matter which way you slice it, magazines were made non-essential. They could not be sold, all right? And that's the problem. Bauer may have been intending to close down magazines. That's no surprise to anyone that magazines have been struggling. But had they not been made non-essential, we might still have 237 people employed for a couple more weeks. Maybe a couple of months, maybe till the end of the year before Bauer made that decision. So it comes back to that, the fact that you can buy cigarettes in the supermarket, but you can't buy magazines. And I know Bauer was fighting that decision. I know the Magazine Publishers Association was fighting that decision. And even though Jacinda said there, oh, no one, they didn't want to talk about that, because they were fighting it. They thought they would get back into supermarkets. So
right,
that's where it lies. And that whoever made that decision to say magazines are not non-essential, well, that's on their conscience.
Okay, we had quite a discussion about this yesterday on the panel with Bill Rolston, and he was adamant, in a strongly worded sort of, I've been thinking that the likes of The Listener as a beacon of what he thought, well, of course, the Fourth Estate, I'm sure many would agree, should have been an essential service. You agree?
Absolutely. And the good old Weekly. I mean, we tend to forget that that's for women. A lot of old women read that. There are women in isolation right now on their own waiting for their Weekly. So, you know, it's not all about just the current affairs titles. We are media. We provide information. The government took out ads in those magazines, COVID-19 ads, to get information out. So if they were so non-essential, why would you put ads in something?
How
crazy it is.
Right. I'm just thinking about the Women's Weekly. Actually, take that. I mean, it must have been published even through the Great Depression.
The Depression, the war. It was an essential service for women, teaching them how to vote. I mean, all those basic things. And a lot of current affairs coverage in there, a lot of really good reading information. It was a valuable asset. I mean, if anyone should be upset in this country, it'll be the 500,000 readers of Women's Day and the 500,000 readers of Women's Weekly, women. We should be the ones that are absolutely shocked and horrified.
What does this mean for the writers, the journalists, the contributors? This is a whole, it's a huge, all of a sudden we wake up and none of these iconic titles are going to be able to be read.
It's, well, for Paul and I are both freelance writers. We've just lost all our work. So, but that's fine. You know, we will survive. We write books as well, which aren't dependent on advertising and have also been made non-essential, by the way. I had a book due to be launched this week, which is stuck in a warehouse. And we are a nation of readers. Why are we not being allowed to read? I don't know. Is this some kind of reading discrimination by the government? I just think that these are icons, especially the Listener, especially the Weekly. They've been around for decades. You've got generations who have read them. And, you know, we can blame Bauer, we can blame the government. It doesn't, the fact is, it's just sad.
Finally, a couple of, before we go to David and Michelle, do you think there'll be a buyer? Is there somebody, someone, some organisation who can step into this giant Bauer's shoes or not?
I hope so. They were making money. So they're not lost leaders, especially the Weekly. They were making money. So, yeah, someone out there who's got a few million, go and buy them, rehire those staff and get that magazine out there. I think it would be a great idea.
All right, Wendell Nissen, thank you very much for being with us this afternoon on the panel. Well, to David and Michelle, both of who you might have worked at some stage for some of these titles. Michelle, you first. What's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I've worked for probably almost all of those in the stable at some point. I think it's really telling that that Bauer said when they told staff this morning that they were they were closing doors and throwing their hands in the air, that they had been looking for buyers but hadn't found them yet, and yet staff knew absolutely nothing about that. So, I mean, I'm a little suspicious that this was a company that wanted to get out of the market and 4 weeks of being non-essential was their cue to step away. So that would be, that's one of my thoughts.
What's your take on that, David? Because the Prime Minister did say today, to quote, in my view, from what I know of the situation, this appears to have been a decision that happened at the same time as COVID-19, not because of it. Do you agree with that or not?
What I think is that what Michelle said about 4 weeks is a very crucial point here. That is not necessarily fatal to a lot of operations, and I'm not sure it was fatal to this one, notwithstanding that they couldn't have the sales in the supermarket. What I was talking about before the news was the idea that many people have had to take a haircut. The whole point is that this is not an ideal arrangement, and it's that scales all the way to not survivable. This parent company is not on its last dollar. It may well be feeling similar difficulties in Germany, I'm not quite sure, but this looks way more like using a pretext for what they were intending to do anyway than finding that this was an insurmountable problem that they couldn't get into the supermarkets. Frankly, I don't buy it. Well, there's a wider context to this too, and that is that it's not just Bauer where this is falling over. I've gone through this week myself with stuff where I've lost both of the columns I was doing there, and just about all columnists are gone. The Herald NZME have done the same thing, as you said before, Wallace, Radio Sport too. There's convulsion here because everybody knew that all of these operations were a little precarious, and this has, I believe, created an opportunity for people to take some of the moves now that they'd been hesitating to do before. Now it becomes a matter of somewhere between necessity and convenience, and we can't know for sure exactly where that lies, but there's no question that everything is coming unraveled here. Now, when this happened this morning, I looked at it all and I thought, oh, Jesus, because I thought I had a way through this to go on doing what I'm doing, and then I looked at that and thought, well, this is a tidal wave. And
me too,
so I went
me too.
When the going gets tough, I go running. And by the time I'd finished my run, I had a quite different point of view because it took me back to 1984 and the Rogernomics revolution, and particularly what I saw in the farming community, which I'd come from. And that is that everything that you thought was solid just dissolved.
Right.
And in the end, what you got was a very different proposition. And I'm not saying it was desirable to go through that convulsion, but you do reach a point where there's an inevitability about it that has to be faced. And I think the only regrettable thing is that it all happened in a convulsion in the case of farming in the 80s, and lives were lost.
Just
it was
awful. Just awful. Finally, because we've got to move on.
My point is, Wallace, I think at the end of this, assuming we can find a way past the way the big operations like Google and Facebook have sucked all of the advertising money out, there is a new smaller basis for this, for media to operate in the same way that there was a new smaller basis for farming to operate coming through that. And arguably, all of these large lumbering giants have impeded the likes of Newsroom, Spinoff, whatever you like, to flourish, because they are they carry much less overhead, fewer expensive
people. I just want to ask Michelle a question, and then we're going to move on, because a few people are turning their noses up at the likes of Women's Day or Women's Weekly, but these are an extraordinary staple in households across the country. And really, when you think about it, it is just very, very hard to think about the landscape of New Zealand without your Women's Weekly, without your Metro magazine, or your North and South, or your Listener. I mean, these are really big titles.
Yeah, they are. And people like to sneer at magazines that are targeted at women because women matter less than men. But a lot of women are avid readers. And it is, as Wendell said, it's a lifeline. Also, those other titles, North and South, Metro, those magazines, you know, this is a time when what we need the most is long-form investigative journalism and long-form features. And I suspect it has more to do with the fact that advertisers aren't in a position to sell their soap and cars. And that's what the real problem is here, that the advertising revenue that supports long-form investigative journalism isn't available because people can't sell stuff because we're in a lockdown.